7. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem."
In our lives, we tend to overcomplicate things. We tend to dwell on things and make our lives a little harder than it needs to be. There's an acronym in baseball that is used to keep those who go through these types of struggles, and also in struggling with baseball, it's a KISS. It's keep it simple, stupid. From an early age in baseball, you're taught the fundamentals, and you teach the importance of simply keeping your eye on the ball and make a contact with the ball and these fundamentals. But as you advance through the years, the levels in baseball, there's things get more complicated. They get harder. You have not just someone throwing you a pitch, but now they're trying to really strike you out, and they're throwing you fastballs, curveballs, different things. They're making you think. And sometimes as you advance also, you have different things you need to do, maybe to hit it to a different place. So there's a lot of things that happen that complicate things. And when they do, when batters tend to get in a slump, they remember this acronym of KISS. Well, one may struggle in life and in religion, especially with Christianity. We see complexity, and the complexity is of division and in teaching. There's roughly 41,000 different denominations, 41,000 different teachings of some sort of another of the simple truth that is written in God's Word. This can make things very complicated when we go out and preach and teach the gospel to others. Obviously, we cannot know every denomination in which people may go against the teachings of Christ. So this may make it hard for Christians. And in fact, what do we do as Christians knowing that there is such division? That's what denomination is, division. And when we think of this, I'm suggesting that we use this acronym, KISS. Keep it simple, saints. Whenever we think about this, we know that the gospel of Jesus Christ saves souls. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. In Matthew chapter 16, if you would turn there, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 18, the first thing we need to keep simple is we need to know who Jesus is. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who does the world say that I am?" And in that asking that, the response that they got said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then he gets specific, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Because these people, these apostles, were the ones who were with Jesus each and every day. And they heard the teachings of Jesus. They saw the miraculous, the wonders that Jesus performed. They saw the authority in which Jesus taught. And he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And we know Peter's response where he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We need to keep it simple. Knowing who Jesus is. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. In Isaiah 53, he is the suffering servant. He is the good shepherd. To keep it simple, we need to know who Jesus is. Once we know who Jesus is, we need to know what he did for us. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. As we saw in our scripture reading back in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. It said, thus is written, it's necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. In fact, he did it for the remission of sin. And that's what needs to be preached. That was needs to be taught to all people. So Jesus died on the cross for all sin. This was a plan before the foundation of the world that God set forth. This was revealed by God to man ever since the first sin came about with Adam and Eve in the garden. We see in Genesis 3:15 that they sinned and God had a plan for that sin. And this was revealed to God by God down through the ages, through the prophets, through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where he promised through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that promise that God was going to bring redemption, that God is going to, his plan is going to be set forth. And we see the foreshadowing of this plan through the old law, and we also see this by types and antitypes. What was of old is now going to be fulfilled, and we see this fulfillment throughout Scripture of God's plan being revealed. If you would turn your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 18, it says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." Remember, we're keeping things simple. We want to make sure that we are teaching and preaching the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to look through this verse and ask some questions. What did Christ do? He suffered once and for all for sins. That means he took the punishment that we deserve, which is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And he suffered once and for all for that sin. And we must ask the question, well, who did he do that for? The just and the unjust. Why did he do it? That he might bring us to God. And then how did he do it? By being put to death in the flesh and made alive by the Spirit. You see, one verse that really shows us what God has done, what Christ has done for us. The plan in which God has brought forth, we can see what Christ does. This is a simple verse that teaches that, and there are plenty of others that just simply go through the simplicity of the gospel. We can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That we see that Christ, according to Scriptures, died. He was buried and resurrected, and on the third day, as he resurrected, he was seen by men. 1 Corinthians 15 goes through the gospel plan and what God has done. And as we see what Jesus has done, Jesus established his church. Jesus purchased it with his blood, Acts 20 in verse 28. All the saved were added to it, Acts 2 in verse 47. Jesus is coming back one day to hand the church over to the Father. We need to keep this message simple. We need to keep it simple, knowing that there is so much religious division in Christianity. We know that if we just look to God's word, strive to be following and teaching it to others. The way we do that is by going to God's word. When we look at the church, we'll look at it more in detail. Matthew 16, as we were talking about earlier, we see that after Peter confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And he said, "I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," his church, not multiple churches. It's singular. He is going to build his church, and based on his church, it's going to be his authority, and we know that his authority is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is sitting now, Ephesians 1, 20 through 23, he's sitting now at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. He has that authority. In verse 22, he's put all things in under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fulfillment of all, fills all in all. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 4, there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. We need to understand that religious division is unscriptural. Religious division is not what Jesus established. He established his church and his authority. And when we go against his authority by any ways or any means, we are not united with Christ, and we're not following the teachings of Christ. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 in verse 20. He prayed this. He said, "I'm not just praying for these individuals, the disciples alone, but for those who believe in me through the disciples' word, that they all may be one." Jesus prayed that they would all be one. And as he's praying, he said, "As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." Jesus prayed that we will be united in him. And then right before that, how are they going to be united? That they have to be sanctified by truth. How is that? By God's word. God's word is truth. And when we look at unity in following Jesus and following and being his body, we need to make sure that we are united with Christ. And how does that happen? Well, by obedience to God's word, by following after God's word. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul was pleading with the brethren there. He said, "By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but you have been perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." How are they joined by that same mind and same judgment? It's through God's word. Matthew 28 in verse 20, Jesus, as he's leaving and commissioning the disciples, he said, "Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He wants them, the disciples, those who are following after Christ, and us today, to teach people that all things that Jesus has commanded. And then we see Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, how Paul was marveled. He said, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from who you're called by the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is really not a different gospel, but some trouble you who want to pervert the gospel of Christ." And he said, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel which we have preached to you, let him be accursed." He said, he goes on to say, "For do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." When we think about the simple message of Jesus Christ, if we are following after his teachings and following his word and striving to do what he wants us to do by following the gospel in which that was preached, we will be a bondservant of Christ. not perverting it, not going against Christ, but following the teachings of Christ. Yes, some have strayed from the teachings of Jesus Christ. They've strayed because they've gone against the authority. Colossians 1 and verse 18, that Jesus, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have the preeminence. He may have the authority. He has the say. So when we think about this, as we think about keeping it simple, keeping the gospel message simple, if we are going to follow Christ, we need to follow his authority, follow his word. And that goes as even the organization of the church. In Matthew 15 and verse 13, he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, it'll be uprooted. So if we are trying to establish a congregation and we're not doing it according to God's word, it'll be uprooted. It'll be uprooted. Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Paul, they were going around and pointing elders in every church, and they prayed with fasting and prayer, and they commended them to the Lord in whom they have believed. You see, they were pointing to Jesus Christ. As they appointed elders, they were striving to still be under that authority of Christ. And we looked at that today in our Bible class. When we see the role of an elder, they are the shepherd of the church. But they are also to be in submission to Christ. And that is the proper organization. And we see that proper organization set up in the qualifications for those men in Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We see that also in Timothy 3, 8 through 12, we see the qualifications for deacons. And so the church must be organized properly. It must be organized with faithful men that serve as elders and faithful men that serve as deacons. Paul and Timothy in Philippians 1 and verse 1, it says that Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. We see, not only do we see the authority in Scripture, we also see the example in Scripture of how and what they did. Those who were apostles, those who were teachers of the message of Christ. Then we get to the simplicity of worship, how worship would be. John 4 and verse 24, we see Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman, and she was talking to him about the mountain in which she worshiped. She said, we worship on this mountain, and your people worship on this mountain. And there was confusion there. But Jesus clears up that confusion by saying, it's not going to be about a mountain anymore. It's going to be how you worship God. He said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that God desires such. That God desires that there will be true worshipers who will follow it in this way. So when we look at the simplicity of it, if we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, we're doing it according to God's plan. And how do we make sure we do that? By sanctifying ourselves by the truth of God's word. And following the scriptures on how we are to worship God. And in Matthew chapter 15, if you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 15, in verse 8 and 9. It's a warning that Jesus is giving here. He said, hypocrites, well, Isaiah said this, he prophesied about these people at this time. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines and the commandments of men. You see, Isaiah prophesied it, and Jesus used that and said, they're prophesying this about you. You're following the commandments of men, and you may be honoring God with your lips and your words, but your heart is far from me. When we want to worship God, we want to worship Him in spirit and truth. We want our heart to be close to God. We don't just want it to be words. We don't just want it to be with our lips and saying the right things. But we want to do it according to God's plan with our heart. Doing it as God is spirit, we should worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in doing that, how do we do that? Well, by partaking of the Lord's Supper, as we just did. And there's many verses that was read. We see that is to be done on the first day of the week. How many days of the week are the first? Well, it's a simple question. There's one first day of the week, and it happens every week. And we are to partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And that kind of handles that. That's simple what is taught in Scripture, giving. We are commanded to give on the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, he said, "Now concerning the collections for the saints, as I directed the church of Galatia, so you also to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store up, that he may prosper, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collection when I come." And we are commanded, and we see the example here, to give back to God. It's a simple giving in a way that we are giving to a higher. We're giving to Christ. We're giving to God back our earnings, what really God has given us and blessed us with. We're giving a portion back to Him. And it's a way to show and to worship God. We also, a way to worship God is by singing praises to God. Ephesians 5 and verse 19, "Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." We've complicated this area a lot in the religious world. We are to sing. How do we speak to one another? By our words. And through that, we make melody in our hearts, singing to God, giving praise to God. And when we think of that, we are following God's will in this. Genesis 4, or 6 and verse 14, if Noah, building an ark, did not build an ark the way God designed it, would that ark have saved him in the end? No, it wouldn't. If he would have built it out of any other wood, it would have not saved, but he was commanded to build the ark out of gopher wood. And therefore, we are commanded to sing. We should sing praises to God, lifting his high and holy name and praising him as our God. As we look over and over through the scriptures, the pattern for worship, the pattern, the way we should follow. And as we look at keeping this simple, keeping the message of Christ simple, we need to remember who Jesus is. Remember what he has done for us. Remember what he established. Remember his teachings, and keep the message simple. What about our lives? How can we simplify our lives? Follow the scriptures. Follow the teachings of Jesus. And when we think of that, that means we look at it, we read it, we understand it, and then we take that and apply it to our lives. And if God's word says to repent of our sins, we are to repent of our sins. In fact, when it comes to sin, we need to repent and be baptized. If we have not repented or changed from our sinful state, How can we be forgiven? And it is only through repentance and being baptized, having that sin washed away, and that's how we become a Christian. And we also know if we are a Christian and we sin, repentance and prayer is necessary. Now, to keep it simple in our lives is do not sin. Wouldn't that be simple enough that as Christians, we find the pattern which God, which Christ established, and then we don't sin anymore? Yes, that is easier said than done, but to make it simple, don't sin. And the other thing we have to consider is this. Everything we have is God, is God's. He has given it to us. And as we go through our life, it'll help us not to be materialistic in this world if we understand that everything we have is God's. And what about this as well? As we live our lives, we need to remember that everything we live for is to be with God for eternity. If we remember that simple fact, that what we go through each and every day, or maybe if we could look at the end of our life, what is the most important thing we do or can be, where we can be, it's with God for eternity. That is the simple thing when we look at ourselves and the application to God's message. Religious division has complicated the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we as Christians need to keep it simple. Remember the simple truths of God's word. Yes, there is complexity in God's word, but we need to keep the message simple and teach the truth of God's word. As we look at God's message and God's plan, are you faithful in applying it to your life? Are you in the right relationship with God? If you're living in sin, you are not in the right relationship with God. And how you get that sin removed is by being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's believing in Jesus. Believing in not only believing, but confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And repenting of our sins. Having not just sorry that we did it, but sorry and a change of life is necessary. Then we must have our sins washed away in baptism, being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we get our life right with God. And as we do so, maybe we've erred after we became a Christian. And repentance and prayer is necessary. If we can help you with these things today, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.